for the opportunity to be here this day and to welcome each of you here to the house of the Lord and to welcome our brothers and sisters who are watching on live stream. And I do so in anticipation of the words our brother will bring to us. So with that, I'm going to give you my next door neighbor and my son and my brother in Christ. And fits all those bills and my tile setting buddy. But in sincerity, I do know that he has a desire to serve the Lord and to bring forth a message to us this day. And so I give you our brother and our speaker, Adam.
Good morning, everyone. Did we get this microphone on? Okay. I want to welcome each one of you here and tell you that I am truly happy to be here today. Because of work, I've some forced overtime the last two Sundays, and so I haven't been able to be here. And of course, with my schedule now, it's changed my hours. I'm not able to be here even for the hour I had been on Wednesdays. And so, as I've been absent these last 2 weeks, I've really felt that absence. Not that I felt an absence of the presence of the Lord or His leading me or being with me. In fact, the rather, knowing that I was going into a couple weeks where I wouldn't be able to have this time to come apart. I've really been in my prayers as I've been praying daily and heading to work. The 5-6 days of work I've been having and all that. Really been asking the Lord to help me through the time. I know myself that when I'm absent from services, when I don't come to church and I miss that time of peace and of rest, of that respite from the world, it really causes me to struggle. And the Lord has really been blessing me. I found, a lot of times as I drive to work, I offer up my prayer as I'm driving, and then a lot of times I'll turn on and listen to the news or something like that. And I've found really this last 2 weeks a longing to hear, to listen to music. And I plug in my phone into my truck as I'm driving to work, and listen to some music and really feel the calming of the Lord's Spirit that has been with me. Kind of setting the pattern for my day. And, Andy said he's in anticipation of this sermon. He should be, because being gone for the last 2 weeks, I totally forgot I was preaching today until last night about 10 o'clock. Andy texted me and said, "You're preaching tomorrow, right?" And I thought, "Oh, no. I wonder if I am. And sure enough, I was scheduled. But I've had some thoughts that have been on my heart, actually, for a couple weeks. I started writing an article for the Zion's Advocate, which someday I'll get to you, Gordon, and about this particular topic that I have today. I want to talk, and I don't intend on bringing a long sermon this morning, but I want to talk today on the importance of, ironically enough, rest. Something I have not had much of. With work, I'm subject to being called out, and it just seems like when it rains, it pours. Sometimes we'll go a week or two without many operations that we do for my job with the SWAT team, and then it just comes down on us, and that's what this week was like. So on top of, being gone from services and all that the last several weeks, this week I've gotten very little sleep. It's a whole lot harder when you're working at night, sleeping during the day, getting called out at 11 o'clock in the morning, It's a whole lot harder on your body getting motivated to get up and go to work a couple hours of sleep during the middle of the day as opposed to it was when I worked and was sleeping at night. And so I'll be honest, I stand here today absolutely exhausted, but I'm so grateful to be here. As I came this morning, I woke up a little bit early and came here to our morning meeting about a half hour early, and I just sat in the kitchen and just enjoyed some peace and some rest. And I want to spend a few moments this morning talking to you about that, but I want to begin kind of with a visual example. So what I need is I need a young guy who's willing to help me out up here. I was thinking of Alex earlier, but he's looking like he's not really wanting to come up here. Are you wanting to, Alex? Will you help me? Alex, you're a young, strong man. Here's what I would like for you to do. I want you to hold this pen for me for as long as you can. But I want you to hold it out like this, as long as you can. Not very heavy. There we go. And I'll just have you hold it while we talk here. I want to go ahead and begin this morning with Matthew in the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter of Matthew, I want to read three very familiar verses. Christ, as he's speaking in verses 28 through 30. Years ago, our brother Luke Wiley wrote a song, these particular verses, and it's a song, whenever I read these verses, I think about it and I consider it. And so here I'll read in verse 28 through 30, Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, I consider these particular words, that this is the Lord in his wisdom knowing the day in which we live and all those things that are going on. Knowing that as a person, that there are always going to be these things that go on in our life. That there are things that burden us down. They weigh us down. Alex is doing a wonderful job here. Is it getting heavy? A little bit. You know, I won't make you stand up here till fatigue, but you know, the thing is even this little tiny pen that only weighs but a couple of grams, holding it for too long becomes too much. It becomes a burden at some point. Is your arm getting tired? How long do you think you could do that for? Yeah, you can't do it forever. You can't do it forever. Here, I'll take it back. Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, we can't. There's all these things in life that that can weigh upon us. Whether it's work and our work schedule, it's trials in our family, it's desires for companionship. There's all these burdens that are out there. There's rioting going on in cities. There's a presidential election that probably none of us are satisfied with our options. There's all these things that can weigh us down and that can burden us. I've been spending some time in the last couple months, you know, I've kind of been on this World War II kick reading books about it. I'm just really impressed with the history and all that. And in two of these recent books that I read, you know, they were talking about through the course of these battles, you know, reading one about the 101st Airborne as they're there in Bastogne in the Battle of the Bulge. And if you know anything about it, you know, it was going on in Belgium in the middle of the winter. The winter was dreadfully cold. And these men were completely surrounded at some point, even without ammunition. There was hand-to-hand fighting. Completely surrounded. And the American troops there, you know, were under a constant artillery barrage. The Germans were constantly firing artillery pieces and bombs were going off continually. And it was so much that men were being so mentally fatigued. They couldn't rest. There was no sleep. it's part of the purpose of it was one of the strategies was to make it so you just, not only would you injure people, but you would just physically wear them down. And these men were saying that, you know, under these constant barrages, you know, it was so much and it was mentally exhausting. And you know, they would have men who they would lose their mind, absolutely lose their mind, be out trying to dig a foxhole in the ground with their fingers, you know, in the frozen ground until there was nothing left of their hands but nubs, you know, mentally exhausting. But they said, you know, if you were able to, even just for an hour or two, one of the things that the leaders would do, the officers, is if someone was needing they looked like they were having trouble, the officers would just send them back from the line, 50 yards. They were surrounded. It wasn't like they could get away from it, but 50 yards, 100 yards away from where that front line was. And those men were able to get some respite, and they were able to get some rest. You know, we can't be in a battle all the time. We can't constantly be carrying around a load, because even a small load eventually becomes too much for us to hold. And so the Savior tells us that we can come to Him, that He desires to take from us our heavy load and to take upon us His light and easy load. This is a difficult concept, perhaps, for us to think. How is it accomplished when I have all these things going on in my life, whether it's a temptation that I'm battling and I feel, you know, a few weeks ago I had a struggle. I felt like I was just constantly in a fight spiritually. And it was exhausting. It was exhausting. And that was where the Lord called me to this scripture and this thought. You know, that at some point, I have to stop holding on. And I have to give it to Him and let Him take whatever that heavy load is. Because I'm just not able to bear it. You know, the Lord calls us to give our burdens and lay them over to Him. And whatever that struggle is that you're dealing with, you know, it's always going to be too heavy. But He's willing to carry it with us. He's willing to take it, and He's willing to ease that burden. His promise is there. You know, He's done it throughout the Scriptures. We read those things where he's been with His people in times of trial, and He's made it so their burdens they couldn't even feel. We have this problem here as human beings, is that we feel the need to accomplish and to fix and to carry everything by ourselves. It's a point of pride. I can handle everything by myself, isn't it? We take pride in that. I don't want to tell anybody about my problem. It's mine. I don't want to burden anybody else. It's my burden to bear. And the Lord calls us to allow Him to carry our heavy load. I want to turn to Isaiah in the 28th chapter. And I'm just going to read verse 12 here in Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, verse 12. Speaking of the Lord, our Savior, and His working with the people and crying out to His people, He says in verse 12, He says, to whom, He said, to His people, He said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. You know, He was speaking of Himself. He is the rest wherewith people can rest, can lay down the heavy burden, can experience peace. And we have this choice that we don't have to constantly feel the weight of the world, of the responsibility of all those things. The Lord promises us comfort. He promises us peace. He promises us that He will be with us, that He will strengthen us. We all have probably seen, you know, I saw it the other day. I was at work and I was knocking on somebody's door and they had the poem there of the footsteps. We all know that poem, you know, where there was tracks in the sand and there was only one person's tracks there in the sand. And the person says, you know, Lord, You said You were going to be there with me. And He said, well, I was there, I was carrying You. You know, the Lord promises us that. And yet He doesn't force us. He never forces us. To His people, you know, you look at the entire story of the house of Israel, and you know that was their choice. every minute they spent wandering was their choice. They chose. They chose to be rebellious. They chose to do that. And so they chose to bear a burden and to carry it with them. And some of them never found that real promised rest that the Lord was willing to give them, a land of promise. You know, let that not be us. Let us be humble enough to allow the Lord to work within our lives. That whatever that struggle is that you're holding and that you're bearing and that you're trying to figure out, loneliness or temptation or frustration, that you give it to the Lord. It's too heavy to bear. He promises us rest. Turn to the 57th chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to read verse 20. It says, "The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." Over the course of my career, I've had a lot of opportunity to spend a lot of time doing some undercover work and especially doing a lot of surveillance. In doing that, you know, we dress like a normal person, whatever that looks like, and sit in a vehicle that's a normal vehicle, and we just watch people. And I found this such an interesting thing, is that when we're watching some of these folks who find themselves living in contrary to the laws of the land, you know, and they have no clue we're watching them, and we follow them and we watch them, you know, even if they're all by themselves, they are never calm. They are constantly looking over their shoulder and checking things and walking around and all that. You know, there's this constant turmoil that you can see it as they go about what they're doing, even if there's nobody around. It's amazing to watch. And some of the other police officers in here have probably seen that before, that these people, there's no rest for them. There's no rest. When we find ourselves in this position where we're allowing ourselves to lose the battle for righteousness, where we're giving in to sin, you know, we will never experience rest. We're a troubled sea. We're a troubled sea. Verse 19 says, "I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace to him that's afar off and to him that's near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him." You know, when we are willing to examine our life, and you know, there's often times that the turmoil in our life, you know, it comes from our decisions. I recognize this in my life, you know, and I've really spent a lot of time praying. The Lord has been so true to his word. You know, I've asked the Lord, and I've reminded myself in prayer to think about this. You know, the Lord says, pray that you would yield not to temptation. So I ask the Lord, you know, guard me today. Guard me from temptation. And you know, there's times that sometimes that temptation stands right at my door. And I have to make that choice. And I'll tell you that when I give in, and I've given in my life so many times, it's like all of a sudden I'm there in the middle of that storm. And the sea, the troubled sea within my heart. I can't have rest when I choose to walk contrary to the law of God. There is no rest. There is no peace. Like those people that I've watched at work, you know, even when you're all by yourself, there is no peace. The Lord calls us to peace. He calls us to peace in times of trouble and difficulty. And I've found that to be true in my life, you know, as I've, especially this last week. There's been some situations this last week, you know, where I show up on a call and it's chaos. And other officers that I'm working with are sucked into this chaos, and yet the Lord has given me perfect peace. He can give us peace in times of trial, even though that trial may not go away. He can give us rest in times of trouble and difficulty, even though we still may have to deal with that trouble. The promise of the Lord that He will be near to us and He will be with us. He'll take our heavy burden. Sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to do. You know, there's a song I've been listening to. I don't listen to contemporary Christian music much. There's some like this, you know, as I'm driving to or from work and I feel like listening to something, you know, there's a couple of CDs or things that I have on my phone that's mostly just instrumental church songs, and I think about it. But I found myself kind of, I looked at a couple of songs that I'd heard sung here at church and drew myself to another song, you know, where And the chorus of this song says, you know, when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. You know, the Lord's willing to take those burdens from us, but, you know, one thing we have to do is be willing to let them go. Sometimes that means forgive. Sometimes that means seeking the Lord in that quiet place and pouring out your whole soul to Him and being willing to wait for Him to answer. Stop holding on. Sometimes we hold on to these things, and all we do is we continue to bear the burden that weighs us down. The Lord calls us to give it up, and He wants to give us rest. I want to turn to 1 Nephi, the second chapter, page 21. And this is Lehi's vision. The rod of iron and the tree of life, we're all familiar with this. And I'm going to read, I'm going to jump just a little bit, 68 to 70, and then I'm going to jump over to 76. Then I'll jump again to 83 and 84. Beginning in 68, it says, "Came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the midst of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they had come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after that they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes round about as if they were ashamed." And Lehi goes on to say that he looked around and he saw that there was that great and spacious building. Nephi, as he saw this vision later, he recognized that it was the world and all of the temptations and all of those things of the world. Verse 76, it says, "And after that these people, they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those who were scoffing at them, and they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost." Verse 83, "And after they did enter into the building, they did point the finger of scorn at me and at those who are partaking of the fruit also. But we heeded them not. And these are the words of my father, for as many as heeded them had fallen away." You know, the world does not offer rest. It never can. We live in a world of a rat race. Everyone's trying to get ahead. We live in a world that is dying for drama. We live in a world that is excited by violence. We live in a world that wants to infiltrate our every thought, to pull our hearts and our minds away. And if we begin to heed those things, you know, I have to be so careful. I've said this many times. You know, I'm up all night. I listen to talk radio because I'm boring. And, you know, it's easy to get incited by all of those things. That really is the desire of Satan in this world. Through the things that we watch on the news or on, you know, stories that come up on Facebook, or everybody's got an opinion that comes out on Twitter and all that, and it incites us. It incites us. And it's the finger of the world. It's the world pointing its finger at us. And we begin to heed those things. We lose our peace. We lose the joy that comes from the rest in the Lord. As many as heeded the scornful finger of the world in this particular vision, you know, every one of them fell away. And we need to be considering our walk and our life. Are we listening, and are we being influenced and touched? Are the burdens that we bear, is it because of this world that seeks to drag us down? Give the Lord that burden. Let Him take it from you. I want to turn to Matthew in the 14th chapter and read a familiar story here. Matthew 14, I'm going to read 22 through 33. This would be the very familiar story of Peter walking on the water, or trying to at least. Verse 22, "Straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up in a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake and said unto them, "Be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee under the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And he began to sink, and he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And all them that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." You know, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from this particular account. We could think of it and consider it many different ways. I was listening to some comments by a Christian writer and scholar, and he was talking about this particular story, and I may have given some of these opinions before, but you know, he said he kind of had a different take on this particular account. Is that here, you know, the disciples are all by themselves, and they're out in the middle of an ocean, or a sea, I'm sorry, but my understanding of the Sea of Galilee is it's one that can be very dangerous. And as they're out there, here comes an enormous storm. You know, these disciples that were there, you know, in another one of the accountings of this in the New Testament, you know, they were concerned about this particular storm. And most of them were fishermen. They were accustomed to being on a boat, and they knew this particular body of water. And it came to the point where they were afraid of the storm that was there. It had to have been something extraordinary, concerning for a bunch of fishermen who were used to life on the water being concerned. This particular scholar's thoughts are, and the direction he considered it, you know, and I like his thought process here, as he said, you know, here these disciples are, and they're fearing their own demise by this storm, and there's nothing they can do about it. And then they see someone on the water, and the Lord cries and says, "It's me." And Peter, knowing that he was the Son of God, and that he had power to do all things, knew that the safest place to be was with him. He was willing to get out of that boat to go to the only one who was able to save him from that imminent demise that was before them. Kind of a different way of thinking of it. But I consider that here is that, you know, we find ourselves in all these different storms of life. Every one of them, every trial that, you know, as soon as we step out of this door and we have to face again that trial that we laid down outside, I hope, before you walked in here, every one of them has the ability to destroy you. Do you look to the Lord as being the only one who is able to shield you from every storm that's out there? These men who had spent their entire life on the ocean, they couldn't do anything. The wind was blowing them backwards. There's another story here where it talks about the Lord who called and calmed the storm, you know, and it says that the wind was contrary, and they were working all night just to try to get forward, and they couldn't do it. And the Lord was the only one who was able to calm that storm. We just don't have the ability to solve everything ourselves. The Lord has to be the one. We have to desire and we have to invite Him to give us rest, to calm the storm within our soul, to be that refuge for us. Do we recognize that He is the only one who's able to do that? Psalms in the 34th chapter. I'm going to read verses, I have written here 11 through 19. Psalm 34, 11 through 19. "Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." What a precious promise. The Lord says that every struggle that you're going through is not lost to Him. He's open to hear you. It says here in verse 14, it says, "Seek peace and pursue it." You know, seeking peace, that's interesting. You know, I know just from some things I've read and that, you know, these, some of these captains of ships out on the ocean, you know, when they see that there's a storm coming, they look as quickly as they can for some place where they can find shelter. They look for a refuge. If they can find an island or something where they can get on the other side of it, you know, they're looking to get there as quickly as possible to give them some shelter and some refuge. It cracks me up sometimes because, you know, especially these last 2 weeks when I had to work, it was for the Cardinals games, you know, and I'm, there's been times where, trying to think, there was times where I've been inside in some of these games. It wasn't Cardinals games, but I think about like the last college championship we had, and I was down on the field near the end of the game, and down on the field as the game's coming to a close and there's 80,000 fans screaming and all that, and people are trying to talk to us on our radio. Absolutely worthless. You can't hear a word that they're saying. You see people up in the stands and they're trying to talk on their phone and they're yelling on it, and of course you can't hear. You know, if we want to have that communication with the Lord, sometimes we have to remove ourselves from all the noise. The Lord calls us to go into our closet and seek Him, to get away from the noise. So sometimes we have to call out to the Lord as we're in the middle of the battle, and we can't always. But you know, if you don't find that time of quiet and of peace to seek the Lord, you're missing out on the rest that He desires to give you. Wherever that is, you know, I find that peace oftentimes, he said, as I'm driving to work and I'm able to shut off everything, and sometimes people get out of my way and I don't have the frustration of drivers and I can just have peace. I don't find it when I turn on the radio. I don't find it oftentimes when I'm in with the guys I work with and around all of the things that they talk about. There's no peace to be had. I can't hear the Lord, and it's a missed and a wasted opportunity. Seek peace. If you find yourself now in a trial in your life, or there's a burden that you're bearing and you want to be done with it, seek peace. Seek the Lord. His ears are open to you. His eyes see you. Desires to bless you. Alma in the 17th chapter. Page 441, 66 and 67 is the verses I'm going to read. Alma speaking to his son Helaman. This is what you tell the people so they know. Preach repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves, to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them never to be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. You know, here there's a little direction on how to find that time where you don't feel the burdens of life, where the Lord is able to really be with you and strive with you. You know, several years ago I preached a sermon and I studied quite a bit on this word meek, and not necessarily the dictionary definition, but what does it truly mean? You know, it's having ability under control. We have the ability to do all sorts of things. We have this unique ability here in the United States. You know, this is truly a land of freedom. There is so little that if we want to do it, we cannot do. Within our hearts and our minds, we have complete freedom, ability to think, to talk, to do, to go whatever direction we want. Meekness is having that ability under control. Being controlled, having the Lord control your thoughts and your heart. We need to humble ourselves to have the Lord be in control of every ability that we have, lowly in heart. Through our faith, our belief that the Lord is able to help us, we withstand the temptations of the devil. We don't become weary of doing good things, even though we may not immediately feel anything in return. And we feel even more tired, even more exhausted. We do good for others. We do good works in our life. We think the right things. We seek to turn from all of those things that the Lord tells us are detrimental, and stir up that storm within us, and we find rest to our souls. Alma in the 16th chapter. Page 427. Verse 198 through 200. Now, my brethren, I desire that you should plant this word, the word of God. That you should plant this word in your hearts, and as it beginneth to swell, even so nourish it by your faith. Behold, it will become a tree, springing up in you unto everlasting life. And then may God grant unto you that your burdens may be light through the joy of His Son, and even all this you can do, if you will. Amen. You know, the Lord promises us that if we're willing to have His Word, not just His commandments, but His promises, do we think about those things when we're in struggle and trial? The Lord promised us that He would be with us, that we could lay everything on Him. I hope that in your life you felt that, where you've been in a time of great turmoil and struggle. I'll tell you that my wife and I, we kind of had this last couple weeks. We're trying to do a refinance on our house, and as we're a good portion of the way through it, all of a sudden a wrench got thrown right in the gears, and I'll tell you, it was really a frustration. And so in my haste, I went and I tried to fix it, and I don't think what I did was necessarily wrong, but maybe there could have been a better way. I was, you know, they had some frustration with one of the showers in my house, and so I said, I'll just tear it out. So I tore the whole thing out, and then the mortgage company said, why did you tear that out? That was stupid. And so there's a reason why Andy and I have been breaking our neck trying to retile my shower, because I got to have it done by Tuesday morning. Because, you know, I took it in my hands, and I tried to fix it. And that particular situation began to spiral out of control, to where my wife and I were like, we're just going to have to call this quits here, this whole process. And, you know, as I was tired and upset, you know, talking to this mortgage lady on the phone, and I was rude to her. I apologized to her later, but you know, all this frustration, you know, the Lord kind of told me, why haven't you just given this to me? You know, I told my wife, I said, you know, maybe we just haven't given this to the Lord like we should have. And she said, well, let's just stop. Let's just pray about it. Let's put it to the Lord. And we did. We stopped and we prayed about it. And we put it to the Lord. And you know, that next day, this company called us and they figured it out. We were done with them. I told them I broke up with them. We're done. And we put it to the Lord. And you know, that next day, they said, hey, I know that you said you didn't want to do business with us anymore, but we've worked all day to make this work. Is this good enough? You know, the Lord was faithful. When I was finally willing to relent and give over a burden, you know, that storm of frustration that was within me, you know, He calmed it and He solved it, just like He promised. I want to close with Moroni in the 9th chapter. Page 774. I'm going to read verse 27 through 28. My son, be faithful in Christ. May not the things that I've written grieve thee to weigh thee down unto death, but may Christ lift thee up. May His sufferings and His death, the showing of His body unto our fathers, His mercy and long-suffering, the hope of His glory, and of eternal rest, eternal life, rest in your mind forever. May the grace of God the Father, whose throne is high in the heavens, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who sitting on the right hand of His power unto all things, may be made subject unto Him, May the grace of God our Father, whose throne is high in the heavens, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who sitteth on the right hand of His power, until all things shall become subject unto Him, be and abide with you forever. Amen. You know, I don't have this life thing figured out. I don't have this minister thing figured out. I don't have the Lord's Spirit figured out. But I've, you know, slowly but surely the Lord reminds me that I'm unable. I'm unable. I can't hold a pen up forever. Even this little weight is too much for me to hold. The Lord's the one who is willing and desirous to uphold me with His hand, to help me through whatever struggle it is. With, you know, I've talked several times and borne testimonies, you know, and I think I've gotten to that point. I don't think I have. I kind of had this moment the other day as I was driving to work and I was just pouring out my soul to the Lord. Anybody who saw me was probably, well, what is that cop doing? Crying as he's driving. I poured it out to the Lord. You know, I've just been trying to figure this out. I hate working all night, and there's all these things that are going on in my life, you know, with my career. Where am I going and what am I doing? And, you know, I've been sticking my fingers in it and trying to work it and trying to fix it. And the Lord kind of told me, stop holding on. Stop holding on to it, this burden. Let me take it. And so today I hope that as you leave from here, you know, if there's not something in particular that you feel weighed down by, there will be, because this world has no shortage of trouble. As a Christian, we're going to be troubled. We may find ourselves in for more trouble externally. Who knows what's going to happen in the coming weeks and months and all that. As we look at our life and as we look at all of those things that are there to trouble us, are we willing to let the Lord take that burden from us? He'll take our heavy burden and He'll give us His light burden. He will be with us. So I hope that you consider those thoughts that I have today, and I appreciate the opportunity to share them. Thank you.